And then chapter 4 and 5, Eliphaz, the first of his friends, essentially blamed Job's suffering on sin, called him a hypocrite. 6 and 7, Job said, if only you would show pity to your friend. Then in chapter 8, Bildad, the second friend, said that a hypocrite's hope shall perish and God will not cast away the perfect. Chapter 9, Job said, we cannot argue with God. And in chapter 10, he said, I'm full of confusion. Chapter 11, Zophar, the third friend, said, God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Chapter 12, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Chapter 14, he said, man's days are few and full of trouble. Chapter 15, Eliphaz then spoke for a second time and said, what knowest thou that we know not? 16, Job said, oh, that one might plead for a man with God. And in chapter 17, he said, I cannot find one wise man among you. Chapter 18, Bildad said, this is the place of him that knoweth not God. Bildad's second chapter, if you will, where he basically said that Job didn't even know God. How sad. And then chapter 19, he said, oh, that you would have pity on me. Why do you persecute me as God? And then his third great declaration, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So chapter 20, if you go to chapter 20, verse 29, we'll just look at a couple of quick verses before we get to 23, because these chapters, honestly, some of them are so full of hot air that there's not a lot to draw out of them. So read them at your leisure. But here in chapter 20, Zophar now, his second discourse, this is the third friend, Zophar down in verse 29 of chapter 20. And you'll notice their attacks just keep getting more vicious. But here in chapter 20, verse 29, he says, this is the portion of a wicked man from God. So he's now referring to Job as a wicked man. And Bildad's already referred to him as a man who didn't even know God. And then Job in chapter 21, verse 3, he said, suffer me that I may speak, and after that I've spoken, mock on. You guys just keep mocking me. And then down in verse 34 of chapter 21, Job says, how then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood. So Job, even though he's suffering, he's still correcting their wrong statements when they're made. And then in chapter 22, now Eliphaz is going to take his third shot at Job. And down in verse 5, he says, is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite? These guys aren't very good friends, are they? So that brings us up to chapter 23. The fourth great declaration of Job. The first, of course, is the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him in chapter 13. The third, last week, chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And, of course, the fourth is verse 10, which is, I believe, the key verse of the entire book of Job, which we'll get to. So we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The fourth great declaration of Job in the book of Job, 23, verse 10. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts and lives as we picture Job in the midst of his suffering, getting attacked by his friends, Lord, we can just grow and learn so much from his faith and his trust in you. And so I pray you'll speak to us from your precious word tonight. and do a mighty work in our hearts, each one. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you've ever been in the midst of suffering and felt like Job feels in verses 8 and 9, then it's nothing new. Did you notice what he said? He said, I go forward, he's not there. I go backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, I cannot see him. Sometimes in the midst of our suffering, we feel like God isn't there. But it's not our feelings that count, is it? It's the truth that counts. And so Job is admitting these feelings, if you will. I feel like I can't find God. I feel like he's not there. But then in verse 10, he again expresses his trust in the Lord in the midst of all this suffering. And these three great statements are so beautiful. So the first thing he says, he knoweth the way that I take. What's he saying there? He's saying God knows what he's doing. And when we are going through suffering, we've already talked about this. This is part of trusting God, isn't it? Is believing that, yes, I'm suffering, but God knows why. God knows exactly what he's doing. And God has told us this throughout his word. But let's be reminded about it tonight. Go to Psalm 46 in verse 1. The first thing that Job's teaching us here is that God knows what he's doing. He knoweth the way that I take. This isn't a surprise to God that I'm suffering. God planned it. Notice Psalm 46 for 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see that word present? He is there. Our feelings may say he's not there, but he's there. He's present. And are we going to have trouble? Yes, but God is our refuge and strength, and he's there. He's present. Now, Psalm 119:75, again, David, in the midst of his suffering, made this great declaration. Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In other words, God knows what he's doing. This affliction is all part of God's faithfulness. So that's saying, I trust God that he knows exactly what he's doing. And then, of course, I won't turn us there, but we all know Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Trusting God is believing that that is true. All things work together for good. It's essentially what Job is saying. He knoweth the way that I take. So God knows what he's doing. That's the first very important truth that Job is giving to us in the midst of his suffering. God knows what he's doing. Look at the second one. When he hath tried me. Say, what's the big deal about that phrase? The word when. It doesn't say if, does it? It says when. You know what that means, don't you? That if you're a Christian, there are going to be trials. Doesn't say if he when he tried me, it says when he tried me. And of course, we know what the scriptures say. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Philippians 1:29, unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And then let's go to 1 Peter 1:6. And so Job is expressing his trust in the Lord by first saying God knows what he's doing, but secondly, admitting there's going to be trials. And Job is in the midst of the worst trial of his life, but he's teaching us a lesson here. We're going to have trials. And if someone told you that once you become a Christian, there won't be any trials, they lied to you. It's that simple. 1 Peter 1:6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And go to 1 Peter 4 while you're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, when the trials come, don't say, oh, How strange. A trial. What a shock. Job says, no, when he hath tried me. So he knows the way. He knows what he's doing. He's in control of my life. He is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. And when the trials come, not if, when they come. And then, of course, the most important part of the whole verse and probably the whole book. We even have a song, right? I shall come forth as gold. What's he saying? He's saying that trials are part of God's plan to refine us. That is easy to say when we're not suffering. It's tougher to believe when we are, is it not? So let's look at a bunch of scriptures on this. The point is this: God uses suffering for our good because we need it. Go to Psalm 119:71. First, we'll look at David, his realization, if you will, in the midst of his suffering. Psalm 119, verse 71. If you want to circle a phrase, circle "good for me." He said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." It's good for me. Is that what we say when the suffering comes? This is good for me. You know, we might say it about some vitamins or some juice, but we don't usually say it about sufferings. This is good for me. But David said, this is good for me. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want us to get this great truth tonight that suffering, which God allows, has a purpose. And that purpose is God refining us, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That word worketh, that's the key word. It worketh for us. What works for us? The affliction. The affliction actually works for us. It actually does something to improve us. And that's what Job is saying. I shall come forth as gold. In other words, I'll be refined through the trial. Now, Job didn't know if he was going to live or die. But if he dies, will he be as gold? Absolutely. And if he lives, he will be refined. He will be more like gold. Either way, God uses sufferings for our good. Now go to 1 Peter 5:10, where we go at least once a month. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, then look at these last four words, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. As Christians, do we need to be more perfected? Yes. Do we need to be more established in our faith? Yes. Do we need to be strengthened in our Christianity? Absolutely. Do we need more settled in our Christianity? Especially when things try to unsettle us. Yes. What's God saying? After that you've suffered a while, I'll strengthen and perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In other words, trials are something God uses to work in our lives and refine us. And then go to James 1, please. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's that word worketh again, just like it was in 2 Corinthians 4. Works. This trial works for you. It works. It does something in your life. And then look at James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But look at that first word, blessed. We often think about blessings. God said it's a blessing when we endure temptation. It's a blessing. So, Job is teaching us a lot, isn't he? The suffering came. What's his first response? The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His friends begin to attack. He admits he doesn't know what's going on. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm not going to stop trusting God. Then his friends attack some more, and he finally says, I know what my end is. I know my Redeemer lives, and I know that one day I'll stand at the latter day upon the earth, and in my flesh shall I see God. I know I'm going to see God again. If it's in heaven, so be it. If it's in the kingdom, so be it. But I know where I'm going. We can say the same thing. And then this amazing fourth declaration, in the midst of saying, I can't really feel God right now. I look forward, I look backward, I look on the left hand, I look on the right hand, but I know he's there. I may not be able to sense him or feel him at this moment, but I know he's there, and he knows the way that I take. He knows what he's doing, and he knows why. That's the first thing. He even knows when the thunder should come. He's in control of that too. Amen? So he knows what he's doing. When he had trials, there will be trials. Guaranteed there's going to be trials. And then God has a purpose in trials. So rather than say like a Paul, Lord, take it away, like we looked at that verse in 2 Corinthians recently, maybe we should say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Same trial, same God, different perspective. We can say, Lord, get rid of it because it's hindering me, or we can say, Lord, what are you trying to do through it? Because I trust you, you know what you're doing. This is when trust is real, isn't it? When we believe that God is our refuge and strength. And I admit that there's going to be trials and I acknowledge it. And now that there is one in my life, I'm going to trust you that you know what you're doing and you're going to use it for my good. If that's our perspective, I suspect that the trial may be a little shorter. We'll find out when we get to heaven. If our perspective is, thank you, Lord, for this trial, what are you trying to teach me? Then we can learn it faster than if it's, oh, no, Lord, woe is me, this shouldn't be in my life. We're just asking God to make it longer or give us another one so we can learn the lesson he was trying to teach us. So if you could only pick one verse in the entire book of Job to memorize, you just found it. 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The fourth amazing declaration of Job. So far in Job, in the midst of being attacked by his friends and going through some intense suffering, Job finally says to his friends and to God, I'm just going to trust God no matter what. God knows what he's doing in my life. He knows why. And I'll just wait and see what happens. He's going to refine me. He's going to make me like gold one way or another. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, I want to thank